20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. May your Spirit bring such understanding of your word that we will know your love and your mercy, and that you will guide us in our walk. And we thank you for this time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As an Indian-American Christian, I feel that I have to speak up for Thomas. Because myself, my family, my forefathers, they came to know the Lord because of him, because of his life and his ministry in India. And I'm thankful for that. He was in India. He came to India about 58 AD, and until he lived there until he was martyred in 72 AD. And the church in South India was founded by him. He was the first missionary to India. And so it was, the church started there because of his ministry. And he went a long way to come to India from where he was. You know, why did he do that? What made him do that? And we know he is known as Doubting Thomas. And if you look at what has happened in India, that is not a fair name for him at all. You know, if you look today, I mean, we have about 1 billion people there. You know, I mean, about 3% of them are Christians. 2.5 to 3%. And, you know, what he brought to that land and to this world is tremendous. So we want to see, you know, does that make him a Doubting Thomas or something else, you know? And we also want to look into the Word to find out, you know, a little bit about him, you know, why he made this trip long way from home to India. If you look at the scriptures, and we see that Thomas, he may have been a fisherman. You know, we see in John chapter 21, verse 2, where it talks about Thomas, along with some of the other disciples, went fishing. You know, it was not a fun trip, you know, like some of us do, go fishing on weekends. But it was for their living, you know, to make some money, to make a living for their own needs, for their own meal, and to sell those fish so they can make some money. So it was work. You know, they were fishermen. And also when we look at the scripture, we see that most of the disciples that Jesus called were, you know, from the area of the Sea of Galilee, and that kind of tells us that, you know, most of them were in the fishing business. You know, so Thomas probably was a fisherman. Then he was chosen by Jesus as one of the leaders, you know, one of the 12 out of the all the disciples that followed him. You know, he was one of the 12, and he was with Jesus, you know, even about from the beginning of his ministry. So many, all those through this ministry, Thomas was with Jesus, and he was a great follower of Jesus all those years, and he was also kind of a leader in that group. As we look at what he has done, we will see that he was kind of a leading role in that, in the ministry of, with the Jesus also. And Thomas was he was loyal and committed. John 11, we see that there was a lot of issues because of the way Jesus was talking about who he was, and you know what he's planning to do, and what his call was, and his relationship to the Father. You know, the Jewish leaders didn't like that, so they wanted to kill him. And there was a lot of talk about that, especially when Jesus was going to Lazarus' house to raise Lazarus from the dead. So the disciples and rest of the people felt that, you know, these leaders might have make an attempt to kill Jesus at that event. And if we look at the words that Thomas uses when he was talking with the other disciples, he says, "Let us also go that we may die with him." You know, because of this, you know, the scare that they had, you know, for a lot of people didn't want to go, but, you know, here Thomas telling the disciples, "Let us go, you know, it's worthwhile, you know, we are following Jesus, we are the followers, and we will face death if we have to." So that shows his loyalty and commitment to Jesus. And he was willing to risk his life for to follow Jesus. So we see that. And just like all the other disciples, Thomas was also a little confused about some of the teachings, you know, what Jesus was saying to them. For example, Jesus was preparing the disciples for his crucifixion and resurrection. So he was talking to the disciples about it. And at that time, he told the disciples that he was going to prepare a place for them, and that they would know the way where they were going. So Thomas, at this time, he shows that he did not understand everything that is being said. So he said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" You know, so they didn't understand, and Thomas is saying, "I don't understand. You know, what you are talking about. You know, I don't know where we are going. I don't know where you are going. You know, how are we going to know the way?" You know, at this point, he was the one asked the question, but the rest of the disciples, I'm sure they were so happy he asked that, because they just didn't felt right. You know, they didn't feel comfortable asking him that, but Thomas did. So Thomas was such a wonderful follower of Jesus. What happened to him? You know, I mean, we're thinking about why this, you know, doubt that came into him, you know. What happened? And if you look at Thomas, you know, first he deserted Jesus. Just like all the other disciples, you know, Jesus was picked up by the leaders, and they all left him. They all deserted Jesus. And when Thomas looked at it, you know, he deserted too. He deserted Jesus. Then he sees that, you know, he ran away and here Jesus is dead. So can we imagine what is going through Thomas's mind at that point? You know, is the emotions that, you know, he and the rest of the gang, they all left their leader, their friend, their teacher, and he was killed. So, of course, he was afraid, you know, he was confused, and maybe even ashamed, you know, of what he has done. So, even though he has followed Jesus all these 3 years, but when he left him and this terrible thing happened to Jesus, everything crashed down on him. You know, he felt terrible about it. Because we see that he did not go with the rest of the disciples, you know, when they were gathered together that evening. Thomas was not there. So, we don't know where he was. We don't know why, you know, everybody else was there, Thomas was not there. And maybe it was all that emotional turmoil that he was going through in this moment. He didn't feel like going there. You know, I don't know what happened. But we don't know where he was. And we don't know how long he stayed away. And now, when he went back to the group, he found out, you know, something that he didn't want to hear. I mean, he wanted to hear that Jesus is alive, but he didn't want to, you know, lose that moment where, you know, that Jesus presented himself to the disciples. He was losing out on the comfort that he probably would have gotten from being with the group, you know, because they are all in the same boat and they are talking about it and you know, being comforted each other, that he didn't get that. Then he found out Jesus was risen, and he came to the room, and he showed them, you know, the wounds, and, you know, he was well alive, you know. So he heard all that, and he missed, you know, Jesus' appearance there on the Easter morning, Easter evening, actually, that day, first Easter, that day. He missed that. So, Thomas is going through all this. And when they told him that, I mean, he felt that, you know, Jesus knows that he was not there. You know, so maybe he felt, you know, Thomas is not part of this group anymore. You know, I mean, he didn't know what Jesus would think because he was not there. Everybody else was there. And, you know, then he is feeling about all these different feelings of, you know, deserting Jesus. So when they told him about the resurrection, he told them that he would not believe what they are saying. He didn't want to believe it. You know, could be that because of his own failures he felt, you know, so to overcome that he said, you know, I don't believe you, you know, and I want to see him, I want to see him before I believe that. And then he went another step saying, I have to put my finger in his, you know, hand where the nail was, that nail pierced hand, and also the side, he wanted to put his hand in there. That's the only way he's going to believe that Jesus is alive. But, you know, when we think about the resurrection, it's not something that happens every day, right? You know, it's so hard to believe that someone resurrected from the dead. And, you know, today we have a lot of, you know, most people don't believe that unless you are a believer. There is no one to accept that Jesus is alive. Right? So, for most people, when you are dead, you are dead. That's it. In March 1992, Newsweek magazine mentioned a letter from Greenville, South Carolina, Department of Social Services that read, "Dear Sir, your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. But, you know, normally when you are dead, you are dead. Jesus' case, he is alive. So here, Thomas is saying, I need to do this. I need to put my finger in Jesus' wounds. And then, this day, Jesus appeared before them. And they are in the room, just like the first time, the doors were closed. Again, we know why they were hiding in there, because they were, you know, afraid of the Jewish, you know, people, because they already made up this story that the disciples taken the body away and, you know, maybe buried somewhere else. You know, they have all these stories going about. And so they were afraid that they will be caught and they will be punished. Maybe they will be killed, you know, for what they have done. So they were afraid and sitting in these rooms. And so it was all locked up. They don't want anybody coming in. But Jesus, you know, that big rock couldn't stop him, right? He's out and the walls cannot stop him. He's in the room. And, you know, he came and he showed himself and everybody is there, peace be with you, you know, here addressing everyone. Then he turned to Thomas. And, you know, here Jesus is facing Thomas, and Thomas is thinking, you know, now I'm going to hear from him. You know, such a, what a bad person I am. You know, I am, you know, really rotten person. That's what he's expecting to hear from Jesus. But we know Jesus knew the heart of Thomas, and he knew exactly what Thomas is seeking, what he wanted. So Jesus is telling him, you know, gave him what he wanted. He said, here, you know, here's my hand, you know, and here's my side. You know, you put your finger in there. And what was Thomas' response? He didn't want to do any of that. He realized, this is Jesus. This is my Lord. He said, my Lord and my God. That's all he could say. And that was enough. That was plenty. In fact, you know, that was the greatest faithful saying that we can see in the New Testament. You know, such a saying that, my Lord and my God. And when we think about this doubt, you know, he's not the only one who had doubted the word of God or God. You know, you remember Abraham's wife Sarah, when God told her that she's going to have a baby, what was her response? She laughed. Right? She laughed and said, in my old age, I'm going to have a baby? She couldn't believe it. I think the greatest doubt in the Old Testament is from John the Baptist. Because he saw the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus at the baptism, right? And he also heard God saying, this is my Son, in whom I am pleased. You know, John the Baptist saw all that. You know, everybody should know that and believe it, right? When you hear that from God. But he was imprisoned. His circumstances were changed. And then he is sending people out to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah or should we wait for him? You know, what a doubt he has, right? He has the greatest doubt, I think. After seeing and hearing God, he doubted that this is Jesus, this is the Messiah. He sent people out to find out. And I think another one would be the man found in Mark 9, his son with a demon-possessed son. He brought the son to Jesus and explained to him what is going on with his son. And then he told Jesus, do something if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean, if I can? You know, what a question. Do something if you can. And Jesus' response was, anything is possible if a person believes. And the Father said, I do believe. You know, help me not to doubt. I mean, that was his response. And I think we all can, you know, have experienced that in our life. You know, we believe it, but we have a little bit of doubt in us. I mean, so our prayer is, Lord, help me with my doubts. You know, I do believe. Help me not to doubt. And in fact, that would be what God wants to hear from us. You know, He knows our frailties, and He would want to hear that from us, you know, that needing for help. And for us, you know, here Thomas at this place, he was being confronted or faced with Jesus, and Jesus has been loving and understanding to Thomas, right? He was not mad. You know, when just because you have a doubt, just because you have a question, Jesus doesn't get mad at that. In fact, He welcomes it. You know, that really tells Him that you are interested, that you love Him, you want to be a follower, you want to live for Him. You know, so bring that up with God. You know, He's happy to hear that. So He was not angered or offended just because Thomas, you know, had the doubt. Thomas wanted to do this. So that's very important for us to know. And also, you know, what Jesus saying is, He would, you know, it doesn't matter how many people have questions or needs, you know, that He would leave the 99 and go for that one, looking for the one. So that's what God will do. So when we have an issue, when we have issue with God, issue with someone else, you know, God will reach out to you. He will come to you. You know, because it's very important to Him. Each one of us are very important to Him. This doubt, what is doubt? You know, doubt, there are a couple of meanings, major meanings. And first one is double-minded, to be double-minded, or to have a lack of focus on commitment. And the second one is to have no faith at all. I mean, many times it is that we cannot make a decision, we cannot make a choice. You know, is that double-mindedness? And it happens many times when we don't focus on that issue, on the what's happening. Or, so here with Thomas, what Jesus had to deal with Thomas was, it was not the double-mindedness. It was actually his faith. Even at that point, Jesus didn't get mad at him, right? He was loving and caring. And Jesus wanted him to see, you know, what is happening in his faith. You know, he was a follower of Jesus. He has, you know, heard all that Jesus has been telling them, and he experienced not only the death, but the resurrection of Jesus. Resurrection power of Jesus. And Jesus had to bring him to a point where he needs to understand he has a problem, you know, where he may be losing his faith. So he needs to come back to him. And when we have a problem like that, only God can help us. We need to go to God for that help, that we need to strengthen our faith. And, you know, that doubt is sometimes good. Doubts are good sometimes, because we don't believe everything that we see and hear, right? That doubt helps sometimes. You know, I mean, you see this tabloid news about, Elvis Presley somewhere, and, you know, all those kind of news. I mean, if you don't have any doubt, you're going to believe all that, right? So you need to have some doubt. But again, what we are learning here is, you know, we need to believe that Jesus is the Lord. You know, that He is risen from the dead. You know, there's a lot of proof to that. It's not just a story someone, you know, made up. That He was dead, buried, and the tomb was empty. Right? And He appeared to many. He appeared to the disciples and many others. And also, if you look at the life of the disciples, the followers, I mean, they have gone out of their way, gone out of their comforts to go to all over the world, you know, to give their life for God, give their own life for the Lord that they believe in. And, you know, Peter was crucified, right? Paul was beheaded. Stephen was stoned to death. And most of the disciples were martyred. And Thomas had the same event, you know, happened in India. So they all went out because they knew Jesus is alive. They knew Jesus is true. So that's what we are asked to believe. You know, when we see all this, we know it is true. We have to know because we were not there. We have to believe from the history, from the life of the people who have seen it, who have heard it, who were there. So the only way to survive the doubt is to have faith, to believe. So we are asked to believe the resurrection of Jesus. We are asked to believe that the Jesus is true and He is alive and He is the Son of God. And believing means we put our complete trust in that. You know, when we believe in Jesus, we have to put complete trust in Jesus, 100% of it. And if we look at ourselves, how much, you know, let's examine ourselves, how much trust that we put in Jesus. You know, is it a partial? Is it 100%? Thomas, you know, he was able to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and God. You know, Lord of all things and God of all creation. He is the Lord and God. And that is a personal declaration that Thomas did. Right? And that is very personal to him because he believes that now. He truly believes that Jesus is Lord and God. So Jesus tells Thomas that you believed because you saw me. You know, you are convinced that, you know, I am alive. You know, we as believers, you know, we are not all, you know, up to the 100% all the time. You know, maybe we have some downfall. You know, we may be, you know, here Thomas had this event in his life. And maybe some of us are, you know, having problems in our spiritual life. You know, maybe we are not sure, 100% sure of what is happening. It's true. What we believe is true. You know, for young people when they go to college, they face that situation. You know, they hear all kinds of theories and stories about, you know, whether this is true or this is not true. You know, most people, the world doesn't believe that Jesus is risen. So that is something they have to deal with when they are in college. And for everyone, we have to deal with it. Because we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in church setting. You know, we go out and work in a place where people have different faiths and beliefs. So we have those issues we need to, you know, questions come up. Is it really true? But it is our, you know, Jesus saying, you have to believe. You have to believe. That's the only way we're going to go forward with this faith. So, I don't know what you need this morning. You know, Jesus knows. You know, years ago, Jesus knew what Thomas needed. And he provided for it. And Jesus knows what you need is this morning. And he can provide that help for you today. You know, we need to... If you look at the life of Thomas, his life was changed. You know, he had that... the call that Jesus gave to everyone, to the disciples and to us, to go out into the world and tell the world that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He died for you and me. And Thomas's life was really changed because of that event in that room. And he went out and shared to the people in India that Jesus is Lord. And he, you know, in southern India, especially in Kerala and Tamil Nadu, you know, those are his roots. You know, he spent a lot of time in those areas. And today, if you look at it, there are more Christians there than any part of India. A lot of Christians there. And I was reading in some notes that you know, some of the temples there today used to be churches, you know, hundreds of years ago. Because the Hinduism came strong, you know, about 3rd century and took over those churches, and, you know, there was a lot of struggle, power struggle in those days, and some of those churches were lost to the, you know, to the Christians in those days. But, you know, it still continued to grow, you know, the churches are continuing to grow in those areas. And because of Thomas' faith, he gave his life for the Lord in India, for the people of India. Like Thomas, we can ask these hard questions to God, you know, knowing that He's not going to get mad at us. He loves us. His grace is there, and He loves us. And we're willing to follow Jesus to the death, to our death. I mean, that's what Thomas and the other disciples decided. They are willing to follow Jesus to their end of their life, and they gave their life. And be willing to accept the truth when we are confronted with it. Be willing to accept it. And Thomas did accept the truth when Jesus came face to face with him. So this morning the question is, do you believe? Are you willing to put your trust in God? Be willing to face, you know, come face with Jesus and share those doubts, share those questions with God and receive the answers from Him. You know, He knows exactly what the questions mean to us. You know, He knew exactly what Thomas meant when he said, "Put my finger in those wounds." He knew that. And so He would direct the answers to us, and we'll be able to have that faith, have that, you know, be able to put our full trust in God through those experiences. So, those who believe this morning, let us say with Thomas, "Jesus, my Lord and my God." Let's pray.